Good morning, everyone. My name is Cameron. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Mission Creek. And Pastor Keith is away this weekend. He's doing a wedding in North Vancouver. So he's tossed me the keys and said, take it for a drive and do the Sunday message. So here I am. And I was thinking that I would come up and ask people if they went anywhere on their long weekend. But then I realized it's still Sunday, and you're probably away if you are away on your long weekend. So welcome here for the people who are here. And if you're new or visiting, we're glad you're here with us on this long weekend. This morning, I want us to just put our imagination caps on. We're going to step into a time machine here and go back 2,000 years. And if I lost you there, that's how I get my kids to engage in a story. I usually do things like that. And so we're going to go back, and I want to tell you a story about Jesus. So Jesus had his disciples gathered around him, and they were eating a meal together. Fish and bread, probably. It seems like that's the common meal. And there was something that was different about this gathering. You see, the disciples, they just couldn't believe what they were seeing. And I imagine that Peter must have been thinking, here is Jesus. He is really here. And I imagine Andrew off in the corner just nervous and excited, and he just can't believe it. He's not sure. Is this really Jesus? But Jesus is eating with them. And I imagine Thomas is thinking, Jesus? Is that really you? Is that you who we saw dead a week ago and now alive? Is that possible? And I imagine in this scene, the disciples must have been mixed with wonder, amazement. Jesus was dead and now he is alive and he's eating with us. See, it's just an experience that we just don't have in our life. It's just something that doesn't compute. When someone is dead, they're gone. And I imagine the conversation with the disciples and Jesus being, so Jesus, you were dead. Yes, I was dead. And now you're alive? Yes, I'm alive. And in the midst of this wonder and confusion, Jesus, he kind of drops a bit of a bomb on the disciples, something else that would have just made their minds explode. Jesus says and gives them this big, hairy, audacious goal. Go, he tells the disciples. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Judea and Samaria, the place that you really don't like. Go to the very ends of the world and be my witnesses. What? I imagine the disciples must have been a bit stunned. And I imagine Peter, the spokesman for the group, he would probably say, Jesus, we're just glad to hang out with you for a bit. You're back from the dead. And they haven't invented cars or airplanes yet. So how to get there, I'm not sure. But Jesus, he was clear. Go be a witness for all that you have seen and heard. Be a witness for this amazing story and game changer. I was dead, and now I am alive. I am King and Lord over all. Go to your neighbor, go to your enemy, go to the very ends of the earth and tell everyone about me. Be a witness. You see, it's in this context that Acts, the book of Acts in the Bible, it speaks into. And this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. So if you have your Bible here this morning, let's open up to the book of Acts in chapter 1. And I'm going to read it out loud. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. And we're going to go all the way to verse 9. So it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions to those the Holy Spirit through, or after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight, from their sight. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, what an amazing thing it is that you rose from the dead. It's something our human minds have a hard time wrapping that idea around, Lord. Lord, I pray that this morning your message would be clear, that we are to be witnesses and we go in the power of the Spirit. Lord, thank you for these people who have come here this morning. Thank you that your Spirit is already here working in our midst. And we give you the praise and the glory for what will happen. So speak through me and speak the message. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So today, I want to focus on verse 8, where Jesus calls us to be a witness and go in the power of the Holy Spirit to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But to first understand this, to understand what it means to be a witness, we've got to go back, way back. You see, in the beginning, God created the world, and it was good. And God created everything in the world, and it was good. And God created man and woman, and it was good. But not long after, Adam and Eve, they decided to try their own way. They decided to try what they thought was best instead of God's way. And it set in motion a thing of brokenness. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, the fall happened, and it broke their relationship with God. It broke the relationship with themselves. It broke their relationship with each other, and it broke the relationship with all creation. And so throughout the entire Old Testament, God has been at work to restore these relationships. And he chose Abraham and wanted to make him into a great nation for the purpose of making Israel great, so that people through the entire world could be blessed by the nation of Israel. You see, God's design was Israel to be a lighthouse to the world, to draw people to the light. He wanted to bring restoration of relationships and right living through the people of Israel. He chose Israel to be a showcase for his amazing love. And God was calling them to obey, to follow his way, so that they could be a witness. And in Isaiah 43, verses 10 to 12, we'll put that up on the screen. God says to Israel, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God. No God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I, and not some foreign God among you, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." You see, there was a calling to Israel to be the witness, but there was also a problem. Israel couldn't do it. The people failed. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't show the world God's amazing plan. They couldn't show the world God's amazing love. And when you read the stories in the Old Testament, again and again and again, it's stories of brokenness. It's stories of failure. But God remaining faithful through the entire time. And so when the time was right, God decided to change the game. In some cosmic and divine plan since the beginning of time, it was known that just at the right time, Jesus, the living God, would step onto the scene. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us." Jesus, the God of the universe, emptied himself of his majesty, of his heavenly authority, and became human. He lived among us. He ate with us. He grew up among us, fully God and fully man. And God moved into the neighborhood. You see, God the Father sent Jesus the Son into the world to fulfill the mission of God, the mission, and be a witness to God. And so let's see. Jesus came to proclaim the mission of God. And what is that? The mission of God. Let's put up it. There is one who can restore relationship with God. There is one who can give you your true identity and humanity as a child of God. There is one who can mend your broken relationships. And there is one who can redeem and restore creation. You see, although Israel, it failed to be a witness, Jesus came and he was the witness. And so let's go to that next slide. Jesus was a witness. Through Jesus' life, through his death, through his resurrection, Jesus is a witness. There is forgiveness of sins. That death, it doesn't have the final word. There is life after death. That Satan, the ruler of the world, is defeated. That healing is possible in the name of Jesus. That relationships can be restored. That there is wholeness. There is the fullness of life that is available to us now in Jesus. That creation, it can be redeemed. And that enemies can be reconciled to each other. You see, Jesus, he came to pick up the baton where Israel had failed and carry it and be the witness that Israel couldn't be. See, Jesus, he made a way to God. He made a way for healing and wholeness to be possible. Jesus, he made a way to live rightly with others. In all this, Jesus was a witness to God and God's mission. Jesus, who shows us the full glory and self-giving love of God, the God who would die on a cross to disarm the fall. This is what it means to be a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You see, big idea, first thing this morning, is that Jesus calls his disciples to be a witness to this amazing story, to be a witness to the fact that God of the universe came in human form and did all these things that we just talked about. And so Jesus is calling his disciples, be a witness. Be a witness to the way that I did things. Be a witness to the works that I did. Be a witness to the words that I said. See, we are called into this amazing story to be a witness. And here's the amazing thing, is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus said this to his disciples, and they took it seriously. And they were a witness to someone else. And they made disciples. And they talked about God's faithfulness. They talked about God's goodness. They talked about God's plan to restore and make all things new. And if we fast forward today, we see a chain reaction that happened. And if you believe in Jesus today, someone was a witness. Someone showed you the love of God. someone cared for you like Jesus cared. Maybe someone even brought some healing into your life the way that Jesus did. If you believe in Jesus today, someone was a witness to you. Now here's the amazing thing, is that believing in Jesus, it means we get called into this story that Jesus has been writing. Believing in Jesus means you get to be a part of this amazing movement. It's your story joining with God's story. And so the work of every Christ follower is to be a witness to the words of Jesus, the way of Jesus, and the works of Jesus. And so Jesus, he calls us to be a witness. And what are we a witness to? Through Jesus, we are a witness that there is a way to God, the forgiveness of sins, that we can be in relationship with God again, that there is healing and wholeness. Believing in Jesus, he leads us on a journey to be full human beings, that there is restoration of broken relationships. And finally, there is renewal for all creation. As believers in Jesus, we get to be witnesses of these things. Now let's transition back to verse 8 and go to the next big idea. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You see, disciples of Jesus, we get to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, he gives the disciples this huge goal, go to the ends of the earth. But he also gives them the gift to make it possible. He gives them the gift of the Spirit. You see, Jesus knew in the past that Israel had failed to follow God. They had failed to be a witness. And so Jesus, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, the disciples, they lived closely with Jesus for several years, and they saw what a life filled with the Spirit looks like. How about for you this morning? Have you seen a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you seen that in motion? The disciples did. They saw a life filled with the Holy Spirit. They saw Jesus do the miraculous. They saw Jesus forgive. They saw Jesus heal. They saw Jesus proclaim the word of God and make people new again. Big idea number two this morning, and that's this. Disciples of Jesus go in the power of the Spirit. Jesus says, this power that I had, I give to you when you believe in me. And the last number of weeks, we've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit as Keith has been preaching through the Gospel of John, and we've unpacked chapter 15 and 16, and we've seen how the Spirit, it's at work in the world. It's at work in your neighborhood. It's at work in your workplace to draw people to God, and how our job is to see this and join in with the work that God is already doing. And Keith was preaching about how the Spirit works in the hearts and minds of people to lead them to the truth. And now in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 8, we see another element of the Holy Spirit, don't we? That the Holy Spirit is the power to represent God and be ambassadors of his great mission. You see, the Spirit, it gives us the power to not only obey God, but to follow God and be like Jesus in our hurting and broken world. And so guess what, Mission Creek? This is where it gets exciting. And we'll put it up on the screen, because when we live into our identity in Jesus, and when we have the Holy Spirit working in us as a believer, the Spirit working through you can do amazing things. It can proclaim the good news of Jesus. The Spirit working through you and working through prayer, you can bring healing in Jesus' name. This is not just for a pastor. This is not just for a missionary. This is for believers in Jesus who are filled with the Spirit to bring healing in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. Not only that, but we can see forgiveness to others and be reconciled. The most impossible relationships can be restored through Jesus and the power of the Spirit and through prayer working in all these scenarios. And finally, through the Spirit working in each of us, we can address issues of injustice and we can steward God's creation like he designed for us to do. It's amazing. It's amazing. So Jesus gives us his Spirit to make these things possible. But Jesus also gives it with a command, because he says, go to Jerusalem, go to Judea and Samaria, go to the very ends of the earth to be a witness and to represent me. People of Mission Creek, God has an amazing story, and there is a role for each of us in this story that's absolutely amazing. You see, Jesus is saying, go. Go to your neighborhood. Go to your workplace. Go to the part of the town that no one likes. Go to your country. Go beyond your country. Go to the ends of the earth and make the love of Jesus known. Make the mission of God known. Serve the unbeliever. Love them. Love and serve as I have loved you. And represent me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive, heal in my name, and proclaim the good news. Disciples of Jesus go in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, at Mission Creek, our vision and our focus is to encounter the transforming love of Jesus, empower people through the Holy Spirit, and engage our city and beyond. So what about you? Are you willing to be a witness? Are you willing to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit and represent Jesus in our broken and hurting world that so desperately needs it? You know, sometimes I think we might have a few objections to being a witness or objections to this. And I thought, well, maybe the first one is this idea that, and we'll put it up on the screen, that maybe it's only for the professionals. Maybe it's only for the pastor or like a paid missionary that we're going to send overseas. Maybe this work of witness and being filled with the Spirit is only for those people. But the Bible is clear, even in Acts 1:8, that every Christ follower is a disciple and a missionary. And we learn to do this through the humble road of discipleship. We learn to do this as we follow Jesus. We learn to act like him, to be like him in our character, and to serve like him, to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus in all of life. And there's a call in Acts 1:8 to go. It's a sentness. It's a sent one. It's to be a missionary. And maybe for some of you here today, we're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance as a denomination. And maybe for some of you, you've always wanted to be a missionary. Good news, you are. We all are. And maybe for some of you, you've never wanted to be a missionary. And to that, I have to say, surprise. But don't worry, it's not as bad as it seems. So sometimes we think it's only for the professionals, but the reality is we're all called. We're all called into this movement. God has a part in his amazing story for you. Next objection I sometimes think of is that when we think about going and being a witness, maybe we think it's more like jury duty than joyful duty. And do you know that feeling when you're checking your mail and you're like, okay, letter from auntie, okay, a bill, pay that. Oh no, jury notice. Oh man, you know that feeling? It's something you want to avoid, something you just don't want to have to deal with. Maybe for you that this morning, that's a feeling that's coming up when we're talking about being a witness and going. But you know what's amazing is that as you center your life around Jesus, he changes your heart. He changes your desires. He gives you his love for a hurting and broken world, and suddenly you find yourself reorientating your life around Jesus. You know, a personal example here is that my son plays soccer, and it's not just something that we attend as a family and cheer him on, but it's part of God's mission. We want to build relationships with other families. We want to see God's kingdom come. And we know that by building relationships, we can earn people's trust. We can love them. We can serve them. We can invite them into our life so that they can see where we are hurting and broken, and we can see where they're hurting and broken. And then we can show them that when we're hurting and broken, it's God who we turn to, and it's the power of the Spirit that we can do these things. So reorientating your life around Jesus is how we get there. And if you're feeling this morning like, man, that's more like jury duty than joyful duty, I just encourage you to pray. Pray for God to change your heart. Pray for an attitude of Christ-likeness in those areas. And to close it off this morning, God is calling you on an epic adventure to reconcile people to him, to make all things new, to show the world God's amazing love. You see, disciples of Jesus, they're called to be a witness, not just proclaim the good news, but to represent God in our world. And we do this by the power of the Spirit. And this morning, if you're here today and you're seeking, or you're not sure who this Jesus is, we'd love to journey with you. And if you have questions, I'd love to talk to you after the service as well. And so, just to kind of go from here, we have a few real tangible things that you can step into at Mission Creek. First up is our Flow soccer camp that's coming up in the summertime. This is a way that you can engage your neighborhood, engage your neighbors or friends, and invite them to a soccer camp where we want to build relationships. Second, in the fall, we're looking at doing the Alpha program. And the Alpha program is just providing space to have spiritual conversations with people that are seeking. And personally, my goal in that is not conversion. My goal in that is building relationships and having spiritual conversations. Leave the rest to God. He'll take care of it. Also, our Syrian Refugee Project. That's a project that a committee has formed in our church, and they are seeing injustice and refugees, and they're saying, we want to deal with that, and we want to show God's love in that. And so those are real tangible things that you can step into at Mission Creek. But how about for you this morning? What's a real take home? This morning, as we close the service, I just want to make some space for prayer. And we're going to put two questions up on the screen that you can reflect on. But before we do that, I'm going to say a quick word of prayer and invite the worship team to come back up. Heavenly Father, thank you that you came to show us the way to you. But not only that, God, you show us your amazing love. You show us that in you we can find meaning. In you we can find healing and wholeness and purpose to life. Thank you that you're an amazing God who loves us, who cares about us. But God, you're also sending us. You're sending us to our neighborhoods, our workplaces, parts of town. You're sending us to represent you and represent your amazing love. So, Lord, we pray the Spirit over each one here this morning, that you would anoint us afresh with your Spirit to proclaim your message of love. In your name, amen. So we'll just leave the questions on the screen, and we'll just allow a minute or two for some quiet reflection and prayer.